fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand, so let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
Welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right, it's Thursday night, it's 8 p.m. and you're right where you should be. In front of your radio, listening on TuneIn Radio, or streaming at fmtalk1065.com. Wherever it is, you're here for Common Sense, and we have it. We're in here, 6 feet apart, coughing into our and sneezing into our elbows, and just staying socially distant. We have Common Sense, and that's why we're here, to bring you more Common Sense and sift through the madness, that the Wuhan wackiness that has overtaken the country. That's why we're here. And I know you're concerned about things being sanitary and clean and germ-free, and never fear, because our award-winning engineer has gone beyond washing the electrons. He has been keeping them isolation, and he has been unscrupulously going through the electrons and picking out only virgin electrons, cold-pressed virgin electrons for your hearing pleasure.
The ones
tonight.
With antibodies.
The ones with the antibodies. He's an expert on virgin electrons, and he has personally selected the electrons for your listening pleasure tonight, so you know that you do not have to put a mask on your ears as you listen to this program. That is our fearless award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate that. I'm not sure exactly if I can agree with everything you said.
No, that's
being
okay.
An expert in a few things, I may not be. But that, there you go. Always glad to be here.
Virgin electrons. And ladies, if you want to know more about Mark and virgin electrons, just text us at 251-343-0106.
Oh, mercy.
And hopefully she will overcome the intro and bring return dignity and decorum to this show. Our director of quality assurance, the executive producer, head of the research department, co-host, and Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
It's great to be here.
It's always
I'm
good.
I'm up for the challenge.
Up for the challenge, yes. Yeah. And it is. We present quite a challenge every week. Well, folks, we are a month or so into, I mean, it's been going on longer than a month, but a month into the crisis, shall we call it. And it's really ramped up in the last 2+ weeks. Yeah. But it started about a month ago, or it got our attentions. And I guess I'll start with this to sort of put it in perspective. The United States now has over 200,000, actually 243,500 or so. And 5,000, I think, deaths now in the United States attributed to this. Now, they're still saying it could be as high as 80,000, which is a large number. But again, trying to keep the perspective that it, you know, 80,000 is a really bad flu season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have those every few years, so we got to try to keep this. How bad could it be? We mentioned last week the guy from the Imperial College who walked back his predictions. The problem is, like we said, it's like a hurricane. We don't know.
Right.
We know there's high winds. We know there's going to be high water, but we don't know exactly where and how strong it will be when it hits.
Right.
So we have to prepare. Now, here's the thing, interesting perspective. And I don't know. I just look at the numbers. 4 weeks ago on Thursday night was when this really got our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that night we were here and we reported there were 1,300 confirmed cases in the United States 4 weeks ago.
Right.
The following week on Thursday, there were 13,000. It increased tenfold.
Right.
The next week, which was last week, there was about 70,000 in the United States. That increase was 5.4. times as many
right.
as the week before. Tonight, we're at 243,500. That is 3.5 times as many as last week.
Right.
Now, the numbers are going up largely each week, but a lot of that's because testing is really starting to get out. We're starting to
yes.
test a lot of people.
Yes.
But to me, totally unscientific, but just as a layman looking, I'm looking, okay, week one to week two is a tenfold increase. Week two to week three was a 5.4-fold increase. And this last week was a 3.5 time increase.
So that would indicate, or would seem to the layman at least, to be flattening the curve. As
to me, it seems like it's flattening the curve, because what we wouldn't want is that, you know, tenfold, 15-fold, 20-fold, right, and so on. That's when you really have an exponential increase.
Well, you know, here's the hardest part of all this. I feel like every time I kind of get my brain wrapped around, okay, this is what I understand, it changes. So my idea and understanding of flattening the curve and all of us, you know, sheltering like scared cats, was so that there would be less cases.
Right.
But I've just today read some stuff from frontline ER doctors, friends of mine that are in the medical profession right here in the Gulf Coast. It actually means there'll be the same amount of cases. The curve is the spike.
Right.
So basically, we're spreading the misery out. It'll last for more months, which is a good thing, not to overwhelm
your
hospitals. That's good, supposedly. But I think we were all sold this bill of goods. Hey, if you just stay home, flatten the curve means fewer people are going to get it. Actually, they're backing up and saying the flatten the curve doesn't mean fewer cases. It just means fewer cases all at once.
Right. And that is the big fear,
and
what they saw in Italy, where it got too bad too fast, and they didn't have the capacity to handle people.
Yeah. Right.
So they were like, you know, had two patients, one ventilator, had to choose.
Right, right, yeah.
And that's what we're under. That's what we're trying to avoid. That's why New York City is in a panic. They haven't gotten to where they have to choose, but they are so worried that at the peak they will. That's why everybody's scrambling to get ventilators and all these things into New York City to make sure they don't ever get to that point. Although, New York City is one that kind of boggles my mind, because I think of the 5,000 cases in the United States, half of those are in the state of New York, and most of those in New York City, say about 2,000. So I'm like, okay, so I'm listening. Hey, we're overwhelmed. The morgues, we're having to do makeshift morgues. And I went and I looked up. You know how many people die in New York City every day?
I would say a significant number. I don't know.
421. From all causes, whatever it is. Whether you got shot in Central Park, or you died of a heart attack, or got hit by a bus, whatever it was, you died of cancer. 421 people die every day in New York City.
Right.
So over the last month, 2,000 more plus, let's say even 2,500 have died. Well, that's six extra days. I'm just trying to figure out, how is your morgue already overwhelmed?
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
I'm not really trying to second guess him or question him. I'm just looking at the numbers going, You mean you couldn't flex?
That's why not all of this is adding up.
It's a 10 or 15% increase.
Right.
And I could say, hey, we got a 50 or 100% increase. Whoa.
Right, right.
But you have a 10 or 15% increase. How did that overwhelm your system? That makes me think you guys weren't prepared.
Something wasn't right to start with.
Not prepared for a normal.
For any normal pandemic.
For any normal anything.
For a bad flu season.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a measles outbreak,
correct,
for a smallpox outbreak, for anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
interesting.
And I'm not trying to throw water on the, because I know New York City's in dire straits and they're working really hard up there.
Well,
and we don't need to say too much, because New Orleans, the two parishes around New Orleans, now have more per capita cases than anywhere in the country.
Right.
Now their numbers are not caught up to New York City yet, but they're really concerned that New Orleans will be the next epicenter. They're going to eclipse.
Well, I mean, consider the fact that New Orleans is probably a tenth of the size of population-wise of New York.
Well, oh, we not even a tenth.
10 million people
maybe
in New York.
Tenth.
10
yeah.
million people in New York, and what, 800,000, 900,000
in the metropolitan area.
Yeah.
The metropolitan, yeah, probably. So it's probably about a tenth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and get a load of that mayor.
But hopefully, and that mayor comes out.
She's done a real work.
Now think about this. She's been coming out saying that President Trump should have canceled Mardi Gras back in February. Now, folks,
because that's his job.
Now, think about what we were doing in February.
We were
what
hearing,
we knew.
Still hearing impeachment.
Right. We were in the middle of impeachment. That was all the news.
So if we want to spin this and really be the spin doctors, we can say that the Democratic Party is what caused us to take our eye off of this.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if we wanted to spin things.
And I don't know that we want to necessarily do that, but think about it. With what we knew in February, does anybody realistically think that if you called up New Orleans and said you got to cancel Mardi Gras, that they would have done it? In February?
Oh, no, no way.
No, I mean, if Mardi Gras was next week, maybe they would.
Yeah.
But back in February?
No.
Nobody was locked. New York City wasn't even locked down.
Well, the mayor was still saying, yay, go on out and do stuff. You know, don't worry about this.
In February,
Fauci was even saying, we don't have anything to worry about.
Right. In February, New York City was begging people to still come out and play.
Yeah.
And go do stuff. It wasn't until March that everyone went, we need to do something.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to take all this stuff with a grain and try to keep perspective. We'll get into that and more. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your concerns, your fears, and your jokes at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. We're talking about trying to keep this in perspective, realizing, yes, there's a serious threat. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants any of their loved ones to die and all that. So everybody's trying to take these precautions to keep it in perspective. But one of my main points I wanted to bring out tonight is the vastly different two worlds right now. And I've kind of gotten this. If you are watching CNN or MSNBC, you're probably building an ark or something in your backyard. No, you're probably totally freaked out that we're all going to die and that nothing is being done and there's no one in charge and that we're just going to that there's nothing to be done. That we're all just waiting for the germ to find us, and we will die.
Shelter in place until the end.
Yes, just hunker down. Mm-hmm. They would say pray, but they're atheists, so they won't tell you to pray.
Don't buy a pillow from Mike Lindell.
All of that.
Don't do it. It's all bad.
If you're watching CNN or MSNBC, you need to be calling mental health professionals immediately. Because it's all doom and gloom.
They can do that over the internet now. Therapists, psychiatrists can treat
Skype
over
Skype with you or teleconference with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, on the other hand, you watch something like Fox or CNS News or some of the other newses, and you will get that, hey, there's some bad stuff going on, and they're spread. But you also get that people are working on things.
Right.
You will, if you're watching Fox News, you find out that there's companies all over that are stepping up to get the testing out there.
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean, think about it. A little over a month ago, we didn't even know really what this was. And the only test was a blood test that took like a week or so to get back results from the lab, whether you had it. We are now where they've already, in about a month, developed a five-minute test.
Yeah.
And they're getting them into production, and we will probably have them out hopefully this month sometime. But look, that's what American ingenuity in a free market did.
Right.
But you would not know that
right.
if you're watching CNN.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You would not know that. You would not know all of the great lengths that governments, and I'm not talking about the federal government. I'm talking about whether it's New York State or California or Florida. All these different states are really taking this seriously, going to great lengths and working hard to figure out solutions, that there are people working on this and not just sitting back going, he hates you. He wants you to die anyway.
Yeah, orange
and
man
he's incompetent.
Bad.
Orange man bad.
Well,
he wanted everybody.
And look, while we're on the media, if you're sitting here reading headlines or listening to news before bed, honestly, the world aside from the coronavirus is a utopia. There's no crime.
Right.
There's no terrorism. There's no human trafficking. There's not an immigration problem. Like, overnight.
No, the Mexicans have actually shut the border.
There's no, I know. They're like, don't come over here. Keep your little virus selves over there.
Who knew we just needed a virus to close the borders?
Here you go with the perspective. We really need to keep a macro viewpoint in our own minds, in our own common sense, and
just. But you got to have balance.
There isn't any. Because, again, they're not reporting on anything else. I had to dig deep today and found there are starting to be crime spikes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to find a story on it, but it's happening. And what else? What's up with all these prisoners being released? I've yet to see an argument as how that is supposed to help.
How does that work?
Explain it to me. Change my mind. How does that work?
The guy's a child molester or a murderer, and the judge says, I am more concerned because the state cannot protect them coronavirus. I'm going to let them out in society. So how do you protect the citizens from the guy you just let out?
And they may have coronavirus when they're released.
Because they came out of Rikers Island where they have it all over the place.
Wouldn't it be better just to stay in place?
Keep them in place. How do you say that their right
look,
to be protected
there are some real,
is great?
There's some issues.
But then you turn that around and they come out and say, and if we catch you not social distancing, we're going to put you in jail.
Yeah.
But if you were a rapist, we'd let you out.
You're a
preacher. Because you didn't social distance, you're going to jail.
Preacher in Tampa, he was like, I'm having church anyway.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, no, you're not.
Yeah.
But again, I guess he could get released from prison. Because
they're releasing prisoners.
So.
They didn't arrest him.
It's like, they
gave him a citation.
They threatened, though, I think.
They threatened him and the DA, but
But you see where it goes.
But you're right.
It's like having a schizophrenic argument or something. Like, none of this is...
We're down the rabbit hole and through the looking glass. I mean, we really are.
Down.
We just really are.
Because we're... I mean, really, when you talk about the church, that's one of our First Amendment rights to assemble and worship...
Yeah.
And we're just willing to say, take it away.
First Amendment is gone.
Yeah, take it away. Yeah.
First Amendment is gone.
Right now it is.
Yeah.
And the shocking part is that no one even said,
it's definitely been put on hold for sure. The right to assemble.
Right.
The right to worship.
Yep.
Free of encumbrances.
Yeah. Yep.
So
it's right
two
there.
Parts of those four rights in that First Amendment
it's a big deal.
Are gone.
And we just said,
second, in some states, if you really want
to,
you can't purchase anything.
And in Florida, the agriculture commissioner, who is a Democrat, has put a hold on CCW, concealed carry weapon permits.
Yeah. Well, now, some of that may be backtracking because several places have shut down gun stores, New Jersey, L.A., and Maine had done it. And this is the one I read. But the Trump administration declared gun sales are essential. Maine reopened their gun stores.
Did they?
In Maine. I saw that today. Wow.
Florida still isn't issuing new concealed carry permits, though.
But isn't that interesting that our rights are being taken away? And I'm not trying to say, we need to do something to protect the public.
Right.
But
are we really balancing
exist.
It? We're just sitting here nodding our head while they're just taking the rights
That's
away.
That's it. That's what's shocking and bothers me a lot, that no one even just said, hold up, not so fast.
Right.
Maybe
There's
not
no
necessarily
resistance.
Let's not do it, but let's measure let's, in a let's, measured way.
Let's think and talk about this just
let's
a little bit.
Calm down a second, and maybe not the whole country needs to have
That's
the
right.
same
All things. Right. Well, you know who can straighten all this out for us?
I know.
Thomas.
That's right.
Thomas is holding patiently on line one. Thomas... Enlighten us with your wisdom.
Yeah, okay. It sounds great to me. Most people do. They call me a lot. I have elbow rash. I'm keeping my elbow up. Thank you for having me on, first of all. And I don't think we've lost the amendments or any liberties. They're just temporarily on hold.
Yeah. I hope that's the case, Thomas.
Yeah.
I
no,
really
I
do.
And I'm not advocating it necessarily
Correct.
Against it because you do sometimes in a crisis for
Way
extraordinary measures.
I think it's just on hold while we get through this rough patch.
Yeah.
South Korea did a great thing. They went out and bought the masks and all the needed gloves and dresses and protective things and sent them to the drug stores. So the people had access to them right away, and that really helped. That's what we should do in the future. But what I really called for is I'm glad that Ivy didn't close up our state as far as working. And starting tomorrow, we all have to wear masks. She wants us to wear masks. You know, like the neckerchiefs that Randolph Scott used to wear in the Old West,
right.
And they used to put them up over their nose when they were trailing the doggies from Texas up to Sedalia, you know, Rawhide. And I just wonder, these masks that we had to wear, you know, the color schemes, and like Zorro, I know the Long Ranger one won't work, but the Zorro one might be
right. Yeah, but what about the Bandidos? How do we not mistake them for Bandidos if you're wearing a bandana? I mean, I'm kind of in with it. You could find some cool bandanas to wear, but, you know... Okay, which one of you is the bank robber?
Well, here's the thing. Bank lobbies are closed.
That's true. Bank lobbies are closed.
Their hands, and then they get off, you see.
Right. So, but look, I think you're probably right, Thomas. We're just on hold, and I think people are willingly, for the protection of the public, willing to concede some of their rights temporarily. And we do that. I mean, we did that in wartime. We do that.
Sure.
So, but I guess really what we're saying is you need to be conscious.
Be aware
of what we're doing.
Yes, yes. So that when this is over, we can say, hey, we want all of those rights back. And more.
And more.
Well, we want everything in the Constitution that is promised to us back.
And I'll be one of the first ones, even though I'm blind, and I've been sequestered for about 12 years now, and I'm getting a little cabin fever here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be one of the first ones up in the front of the Congress right there, and to get those rights back.
Right.
That's for sure. But I think we're just on a pause. And I pray for everybody. This is a horrible thing. Just a terrible thing.
Oh, it's definitely a horrible thing. And look, it's weird, and it's having an effect on people because you're not out. But I'm really worried about the economic devastation because so far we're not really feeling it. But what if we're 60 days?
It's in the dumpsters. It is in the dumpsters. I predicted a couple months ago that we'd see 35% unemployment. And as far as growth, I think it's going to be like 0.5, if that. And
I think there's going to be a contraction. We may actually be inducing depression, Thomas. I mean, the jobless rate this week, last week was 3.2 million. This week, 6.6 million jobless claims. Think about
that's
that.
Right.
That blew the all-time record by a factor of 10.
That's right.
That's worse crazy.
Worse than the 20s in the Depression. Absolutely. We got a big problem, and the numbers just aren't in yet.
Yep. All right, Thomas, thank you for calling. We will be right back with calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And at the bottom of the hour, we bring aboard a very special sponsor, ABC Signs and Shirts. That is your headquarters for dry fit custom-made shirts, custom-made signs, banners, promotional materials, and they have a Trump store. So if you want to go down there and get your Keep America Great hat, Make America Great Again, whatever hat you want, they've got it all down there on LaRue Steiner down in downtown Theodore. Check them out, ABC Signs at abcsigns.biz, B-I-Z, or abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z. Give them a check. Check them out for all of your promotional needs, and they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
In this election season, the White House is telling us a solid economic recovery is taking place. It claims a slight drop in unemployment. It says that prices aren't going up as fast, but they are still going up, and that the stock market has shown some gains. But in fact, things seem just about as they were back in the 1972 election year. Remember, we were also coming out of a recession then. Inflation had been running at around 6%, unemployment about 7%. Remember, too, the upsurge and the optimism lasted through the election year and into 1973. And then the roof fell in. Once again, we had unemployment, only this time not 7%, more than 10. And inflation wasn't 6%, it was 12. Now, in this election year, 1976, we are told we're coming out of this recession. just because inflation and unemployment rates have fallen to what they were at the worst of the previous recession. If history repeats itself, will we be talking recovery 4 years from now merely because we've reduced inflation from 25% to 12%? The fact is, we'll never build a lasting economic recovery by going deeper into debt at a faster rate than we ever have before. It took this nation 166 years until the middle of World War II to finally accumulate a debt of $95 billion. It took this administration just the last 12 months to add $95 billion to the debt. And this administration has rung up almost one-fourth of the total national debt in just these short 19 months. Inflation is the cause of recession and unemployment. And we're not going to have real prosperity or recovery until we stop fighting the symptoms and start fighting the disease. There's only one cause for inflation: government spending more than government takes in. The cure is a balanced budget. But they tell us 80% of the budget is uncontrollable. It's fixed by laws passed by Congress. But laws passed by Congress can be repealed by Congress. And if Congress is unwilling to do this, then isn't it time we elect a Congress that will?
Okay, that was a long one. That was from the 31st of March. Oh, it was almost exactly
right, yeah,
to the day. 31st of March, 1976. This was when Ronald Reagan was challenging Gerald Ford for the Republican nomination.
Right.
Because remember, Gerald Ford took over for President Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
And he was challenging him for this. And this isn't exactly what I was looking for, but I stumbled on this and I said, now, wait a minute. There's a lesson in here. And they did the $2.2 trillion relief package, which was the third one. There was already a couple of ones before that. So supposedly there's around $4 trillion already in relief coming. And they're talking about phase four, which President Trump's talking about a $2 trillion infrastructure bill.
Right.
Okay. We're in dire straits and things need to be done. I'm not saying they need to be done, but this is the same thing as what we were talking about with our constitutional rights. We need to realize that we are smashing the piggy banks.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are, he talks about inflation and unemployment are caused by government spending more than it takes in.
Right.
Guess what?
Duh.
This year we are going to blow it out. As
yeah.
far as the government's probably going to spend twice as much as they took in. Because while all this, they're taking less in and they're just printing money.
Yeah.
It's now, to the point, like, it can't be paid back.
No,
like,
it can't be. And now I'm not disagreeing that we need to do something.
Correct.
Particularly because half the country lives paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
And we are purposely putting them out of work to spare the pandemic.
Yeah.
Severe exactly. result.
Okay,
yeah.
So I get all that.
Right.
But we need to have our eyes wide open because we've kind of over the last two decades sort of forgot about the deficit thing.
Yeah.
There's been a little burbling here and there. The Tea Parties rose up when Obama, but look, Bush had already been doing it. Bush already screwed up the debt.
Oh, yeah.
In the Bush administration. So he doubled it. And then it started in the Obama administration. Tea Party rises up and he doubles it.
And it didn't get better under Trump.
And
it
hadn't really gotten better under Trump for a whole number of reasons. And now we just blew it out.
Yeah.
Trump was maybe doing just a little bit better because I was looking at it. He was not on pace to double it like the two predecessors.
Right.
No. He was not going to double it. But it was still going up by about $1 trillion
a
year.
It was still a deficit budget. It was still, you know.
Well, he's probably going to double it now with this stuff.
There's no way around it.
Well, let's go over again what a trillion is.
Oh, God.
Here wasn't a good example. Mark, do you know how many seconds are in a trillion? Like, if you
how many trillion? How many? Yeah, or how like, many years are a trillion? Sorry,
how many years in a trillion seconds? Let's see, eternity.
No,
close,
but close.
for our purposes,
but no,
yes.
It's a real number.
Go ahead. I have
what
no idea.
Guess?
I guessed 50,000 years.
31,000 plus
years.
Years. Years. Not days.
Years.
Not months. Not weeks.
Years.
Years.
31,000.
Wow.
So think about that in dollars.
And that's just
and I
one
live
trillion.
30 seconds at a time.
Me too.
I mean, that's my job. I live 30 seconds at a time.
That's right.
From one
wow.
snippet to the next.
So it's easy. I think we kind of think of it in billions. Like when you hear it rattled out, we can kind of. But it's not. It's.
No, in trillions.
Trillions.
This is such a fantastic number.
It's just a number. Big number. And then we got used to hearing it, and we don't understand.
Well, and then what shocked me was some of the stuff came from the governor. The governor sent a letter out to all small businesses this week and said, do not wait. Apply for your disaster assistance loans now, because you will be competing for limited funds. And I'm thinking,
why?
It was a $2 trillion deal. How could it be limited funds? Mm-hmm. You mean we could go through that?
Well, and
that's crazy.
You don't have to be an economist to understand, though, loans are not economies.
Like, no.
You still need some buying and selling going on.
Right.
Right.
And
you need production going on.
Right. That's what I mean.
Because don't forget, the $2.2 trillion, while, yes, we probably need this injection to keep everything going because we're doing an induced economic coma to our economy here. But you know where the $2.2 trillion came from? The print button.
Well, yeah. I was going to say you and me, but
it didn't come from anywhere.
We don't have that kind of cash.
Like, as a matter of fact, maybe I don't think it even came from the print button. I think they just hit enter.
And, yeah.
Somebody just hit enter and voila.
Type the number, pushed enter, and all of a sudden it's on the balance sheet.
$2 on the balance sheet.
Right, yeah. Right.
We should have our eyes wide open. Let's go to LD the Mad Trucker on line 3. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. You know what? I am mad. I am mad tonight. Have you looked at your 401k lately?
No.
I'm afraid to.
Very much afraid to.
Yeah.
But yet there were people that were sitting in that meeting room with President Trump that heard that the stock things were getting bad, and they ran out and they sold their stock.
Mm-hmm.
I want every single one of them to donate the money from whatever the price of their stock is right now. From the time they sell or go to jail. I don't care if the Republican or Democrat, if you benefited from insider trading because of this crisis, I want you to go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Martha Stewart did. Why should they?
She went to jail for a lot less than that.
It was like $40,000. It wasn't even that much compared to what they made out with. Right.
There's nothing I can do but watch my money go fly out the window. But yet these crooks, they sold their stock, and they're sitting pretty. No. I hope President Trump turns around and makes an example out of these people, because if we don't, it's going to go on forever.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you.
You're right.
And
there he goes. LD the Mad Trucker. Let's go to line 2. David from Mobile. What do you got for us?
Pete, I must be delirious from coronavirus, because I've 100% agreed with Rob Holbrook this morning, and I 100% agree with you this evening.
You must be delirious if you agreed 100% with Rob and now with me.
Yep.
You need to get on some you need some chloroquine ASAP.
Or some of that medicine that was developed by that UAB professor that China used to get rid of all their coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're not even talking about using that medicine because we have no data on how it was effective against this particular strain, yet we know that it was effective against other strains of coronavirus, and it has limited side effects against the side effects on the general population.
I haven't heard about this one. A medicine developed by a UAB professor? I haven't heard about this one.
Yeah, Google AL.com and UAB professor coronavirus drug, and it should be the first result that comes up. We're not going to get data on how it worked in China until later this month, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the economics effects of what we're going through right now, and to specifically talk about that preacher in Florida that y'all mentioned, you know, that they arrested for holding the church service.
Yeah.
We need to be screaming at the top of our lungs about how unconstitutional that is, because the Supreme Court has said time and time again, no emergency declaration can supersede the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
Period, end of story, end of conversation. Louisiana paid a hefty price when they tried to do that, when they tried to seize legal guns from legal gun owners during Katrina. I understand, you know, it is the government's job to look out for the public health and the public safety. So what you do is you strongly recommend that they don't hold the church service. If they do choose to hold it, You station sheriff's deputies in front of the church, saying that if you go to the church, you will be quarantined, mandatory quarantine for up to minimum of 14 days. I guarantee you, about 80% of those people would have turned around and gone home. Mm-hmm. Because here's what I equate it to: back in the old days during a hurricane, the Baldwin County Sheriff's Department would go down to Gulf Shores and Orange Beach during a mandatory evacuation and start knocking on doors. And anybody told them that they weren't planning on leaving, they'd hand them a toe tag and ask them to fill it out.
Yep.
When people asked why that was, they said, so we can easily identify your body after the storm.
And see, and I get your point, but then I kind of look at the preacher going, my church is doing online church, mm-hmm. right? They're doing a broadcast, and that's because most of my – I'm young at my delegation, mm-hmm. at my congregation, if that tells you anything, right? I'm a young guy there.
Right.
There's not a lot of people younger than me. That congregation is very vulnerable. There's a lot of 70 and 80 and 90-year-old people in that thing. It's a little bit reckless to be asking them to come out.
Right.
So you got to balance those things.
Exactly. And see, and that's just it. If they had worked with the preacher ahead of time, but the preacher decided to go ahead with the church service, if they had told the preacher, if you do this, we will be forced to quarantine your congregation at the church for a minimum of 14 days, I guarantee you his calculus would have changed.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would. But look, you got to be creative. There was some guy somewhere, I forgot where it was, there was a Catholic priest who held mass on top of a building.
Yeah, they did that.
So that all the people around the building and the other buildings mm-hmm. could look out their windows and see it. There was another church.
They did drive-in.
The
drive-in. I saw some in Lucille.
They set it up outside, and the preacher spoke outside, and everybody stayed in their cars. There's ways to deal with this. We're Americans. We can figure this out.
True.
All right, David. Hey, don't forget, check out David at BamaNewsNow.com. You have articles up there, and my column this week is Panic versus Prudence. You should check it out.
Exactly, and I've got a column going up tomorrow about the very subject of is the cure to this virus or what we're doing to handle this response actually worse than the virus itself?
That's a very good question. We'll be looking for that. Check it out at BamaNewsNow.com. We'll be right back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. All right, we still got to get to our callers. There's a lot going out there, and I hope you're getting our message tonight. We are taking this seriously. There is a danger. We don't know how contagious it really is. We know it's very contagious. We don't really know what the morbidity rate or fatality rate, whatever you want to call it, really is. So we've got to take precautions to protect people. But at the same time, we need to keep in perspective, what are we doing? I mean, are we literally saying, hey, we've figured out your house is infected, or we think it might be infected, and the only way to deal with it is tear it down? And that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we got to keep that in perspective.
Well, and we got to keep things in perspective. Like AIDS, again, this little website I'm fascinated with, there's been 4,000 people die today from AIDS. Worldwide, globally.
Worldwide, globally, 4,000 people.
But you know,
that ticker's not on there. So you got this website. What's this website?
I posted it to our Facebook page.
On our Facebook page.
And it's a different, like the WHO is one of the main sources. It's lots of credible sources, but they put it into real time so you can get perspectives. But again, you would think, looking at headlines, like no one even dies from AIDS anymore.
Right.
Like, you think
but
it's
how
not
many
a problem.
Died today? 4,000?
4,000.
4,000 people died from AIDS today.
And then
so why isn't there more about that?
400 plus for the year.
400,000 people. And you had what, 25,000 people died from
hunger
today in the world?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, so, numbers can scare you in any of them if they're presented in a certain way. And mm-hmm. it is,
and make you
again,
never leave
like
your
we
house.
Shouldn't just downplay
never
it.
Leave your house.
Right, right.
But
all right.
Is it worth wrecking an economy? That's what we got to keep in mind.
Or can you not live your life without the risk? The risks have always been there.
Yeah.
There used to be saber-toothed tigers, you know.
Every time you leave your house.
But the caveman still went out.
That's
right?
True.
He still went out.
Had to eat.
He had to eat.
Right.
He still went out. Okay, let's go to line 4. John from Fish River, what do you got for us?
Hey, I want to remind everybody what Regina Benjamin, former Surgeon General, said back in January. This thing is tough, the way she said in short.
Mm-hmm.
And to David, I think you needed to look up martial law. If you've not lived under martial law, that's an experience you don't want to experience. Because when you go out that door, there's nothing but questions coming at you.
Right.
Why are you outside the door?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to be inside. So, you know, good God, we're almost taking this disease too lightly. And things I've heard about on the news that I haven't heard enough about it, about the disease itself. What are the symptoms, you know, and do you live in that much pain? I heard now tonight that it's very painful.
Well, they said if you get to the severe stage, mm-hmm. you can't breathe. The early symptoms are you get a sore throat.
Yeah.
And then you get a dry cough.
What
and
about
then
a headache?
Fever.
Headache.
And a headache. And the fever and dry cough. And then a lot of people recover from that. It's like a flu type thing. But if you don't recover from that, it progresses to a pneumonia type stage where your lungs are not working, where you literally cannot breathe. And that's where they get to the point they have to put you on a ventilator to get enough oxygen into your body to keep you alive.
I think what he's got has been conflicting. Because sometimes they say,
there you go.
Yeah, not all symptoms affect everybody the same way. Like, not the
same way, yeah.
Right.
Now, I went through bronchitis since this is April. I came down with a case of bronchitis the second week of March, almost a month ago.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, I couldn't breathe. I had a headache, I had all the symptoms except the fever.
Yeah,
and it was very, very, and I said this last week. Yeah. It was very puzzling to the doctors.
Yeah,
but I pulled through, and I'm here talking pretty normal right now and breathing.
Right. Yeah,
a week ago is a different story.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, that's why you gotta kind of keep it all in perspective. But I think we're gonna find out. Some of us may have already been exposed.
Yeah,
we didn't know it. We've already had it or been exposed to it and didn't even know it. And actually, I think when I recited the numbers at the beginning, 243,500 American confirmed cases. You know what? It would not surprise me if we didn't have add a zero to that or two zeros. That there's 24 million cases already in the United States. We just don't know who's all had it already. So we got to
exactly.
Catch up.
There you go, Pete. I'm glad to hear you say that, man.
Yeah,
I really am.
Well,
and
John,
let me tell you one thing. I do not ever want to follow up behind Thomas. And President Reagan.
There you go.
Thank you for your time tonight.
All right, John, thank you for the call and thank you for listening. Let's go to line one. Dr. Lou, what do you got for us?
Hey, very good call tonight. You know, Pete, you all are doing a nice job with this. I just wanted to say, you know, one thing that your last caller said something about the former Surgeon General, but the fact of the matter is Fauci and them basically said that they didn't think this was going to be all that bad on January 27th.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, there is this, it's all in hindsight. It looks good. But let me just say this, that one of our goals is to make sure that all of the people in Common Sense are aware of what's going on, and we've been sending out emails, alerting people and all like that. But at the same time we're doing that, we are trying to maintain, you know, some focus on the upcoming election on July 14th. So we've worked out a deal finally with Sessions. We're going to have a town hall conference call with him. We'll get information out about that. But the other side of this, too, is that we're working to try to bring the State Board of Education to repeal Common Core. After March 3rd, with the 75-25 win against Amendment 1 and Ivy's attempt to control education, we think the momentum is with us. That's been somewhat dissipated, but we're still working hard. We've got teams. We're going to approach Jeff Newman and Sandra McCarty, and we'll see if we can't get them to vote no. I mean, yes, with us. And I think that, you know, even though this is a crisis we're in, we can't take our eyes off some of the issues that are important to us.
Right.
So I think that, you know, we're doing our part, you know, social distancing, staying alert, doing the things we have to do. I think Common Sense is a leading, you know, force in all that. But at the same time, we're not going to let these people in Montgomery run over us.
No. And look, that's kind of the point of the whole show is that life still goes on. We still have tax issues to deal with. We still have the economy to deal with. We still there's all sorts of things still going. We still have to deal with the elections and who we send and the Common Core. All these things are still going to be there when this is over. So we need to not just sit here and hunker down at home.
Yep, exactly. So. And I think that, You know, on my radio show this last Monday, I talked about with Chris Elliott about what's going on in Montgomery. And, of course, you know, they came in second on Tuesday, gaveled out until the 28th. And
yep.
Essentially, you know, they're going to be tied up with the prison, not even prison probably. It's just going to be the budget.
A bunch of stuff.
A few things.
Hey, Dr.
So the
Lou.
The bottom line is that there's stuff that we have to pay attention
right,
to.
Right, there is.
And we could walk and chew gum at the same time.
But, Dr. Lou, I hate to cut you off, but we are out of time. We have run out the clock. So hopefully we'll run out the clock on coronavirus. Folks, stay safe. Stay far apart. Avoid crazy people. But always tune in every Thursday night at 8 p.m. to Common Sense to figure out what's going on. Check out our Facebook page. We are here with you, bringing you the best information we can get. Honey, it's time to come home.